of the dust has settled, smoke has cleared, and Trump has been elected as the next president, 45th president of the United States of America. But what will it mean for internet privacy and the surveillance that's been unwarranted against U.S. citizens over the past years? Because it's a fact that NSA surveillance on U.S. citizens has dramatically increased during the Obama years. It was going on before that. I mean, understand what I'm saying here. But it's dramatically increased over the last 7.5 years, almost 8 years now, despite the Edward Snowden revelations, despite the outcry from members of both political parties. So this battle over encryption, which dates back actually into the 90s, could heat up real quick with Trump's win and the re-election of Republican Senator Richard Burr, who's the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Burr, you should know, he spearheaded a failed effort last year to pass legislation requiring that companies build more back doors into their products. That would allow government agents to bypass encryption and other forms of data protection. I believe this is ridiculous. We don't need any more backdoors. Edward Snowden told us, hey, you've got a lot of backdoors going on at technology companies, and it's created a firestorm of cybersecurity problems and breaches and ransomware and viruses and the loss of billions of dollars from corporations and millions of dollars from people, identity theft. The list goes on and on and on. If we build any more, if we allow this as people to build any more doors, we're just opening more problems up to all of us in our families and our businesses and our companies. Nobody can deny we have a serious situation at stake here. What will Trump do? We're going to discuss that on this episode of George Orwell 2084, and we'll look into this real deep with our guest, Michael Pickens.
If you use the internet, then you face serious threats to your privacy and constitutional rights. George Orwell 2084 is a show like no other. It's time to fight back. Here he is, David Bowron.
Well, first, we need to understand how internet surveillance has gotten to this point. And what a mess. I tell you, look, I'll tell you right now, Trump supporter. I went to a Trump rally. Really like a lot of his policies. And actually, most of them. It's refreshing to me. I hope it is for you as well. There's obviously a lot of division going on with all that. But understand something. I look at policies, and I look at how they line up with the U.S. Constitution. That's what we need to be looking at as citizens. But I have to tell you, I'm a little bit nervous with what he may do with internet surveillance and our cybersecurity and really our freedoms and our privacy as U.S. citizens. I'm a little bit nervous about it. So let's back up and go through this before we get to our guest on how we got to this point. Why is it that we're in a cybersecurity war? An epidemic that's hitting our land right now, more than ever. Well, we could thank in part to Edward Snowden, who revealed that the NSA was spying on U.S. citizens. And he revealed this back in 2013. Whether you think he's a hero or a traitor doesn't matter. The fact remains he's been right at what he was saying. He said this is what they're doing. And because they're doing this, they have weakened the encryption, they have weakened the devices, they have weakened the software and hardware and everything that we use. And the result is that these criminals are seeing everything that we're doing, or a lot of what we're doing. If the government could see it, simply put, then the criminals could see it too. Think about that for a second. So it was Snowden that revealed this back 3 years ago now. since then, the march to strip Americans of their online freedoms has continued in full speed. I mean, it's like a freight train. Doesn't seem like it's getting any better. Under Obama, on January 17, 2014, President Obama gave a public address on mass surveillance. And you know what? This address, it sounded pretty good. Listen to what he said. During the speech, he promised increased restrictions on data collection of American citizens, which would include the requirement of court approval for searches of telephone records. In addition, Obama called for increased oversight and admitted the dangers NSA surveillance posed to our civil liberties. All right. That was January 17, 2014. What's happened since then? Well, let me tell you. I'll bring you up to speed real quick. In, I think it was October of 2014. You may want to fact check this. September, October, right around there. The NSA, we call it the Mass Surveillance Facility, located in Bluffdale, Utah, opened its doors. You're talking 9-10 months after his speech, they opened their doors. This is also known as the Intelligence Community Comprehensive National Cybersecurity Initiative Data Center. Whew, that's a mouthful. It is a data storage facility for the United States intelligence community that is designed to store data estimated to be on the order of very large amounts of data. I'll go through the numbers on that for you. Its purpose is to support the Comprehensive National Cybersecurity Initiative, that's the CNCI, though its precise mission is classified, of course. If you try to go out there and you try to go even into their parking lot, you can't. This is a tax-funded building, remember, but we can't even really get close to it. If you live out that way, drive over that way and see what I'm saying. The NSA leads operations at the facility as the executive agent for the Director of National Intelligence. It is located at Camp Williams, near Bluffdale, that's the exact location, near Bluffdale, Utah. It's between Utah Lake and Great Salt Lake. It was completed May of 2014 at the cost of $1.5 billion. It was completed in May, but it didn't open until like September, October, something like that. All right, listen to this. This is mind-boggling how big this place is. All right, the structure provides 1 to 1.5 million square feet with 100,000 square feet of data center space and more than 900,000 square feet of technical support and administrative space. The cost? Between $1.5 and $2 billion, with a B, to build this facility. Actually, I was reading a report suggests that it will cost another $2 billion on top of that for the hardware, software, maintenance, and all that stuff, too. This is a lot of money. A lot of money. The completed facility now is expected and estimated to require 65 megawatts of electricity, costing about $40 million per year. How's that for an electric bill that you pay as a taxpayer? The facility is expected to use 1.7 million gallons of water per day. Remember, they have servers in there. Picture a football field filled with servers because that's what they have. Okay, and they have to cool them. And that's a part of what they use is water. An article from Forbes estimates the storage capacity at between 3 and 12 exabytes. That's very large in the near term. And based on analysis of unclassified blueprints, but mentions Moore's Law, meaning that advances in technology could be expected to increase the capacity by orders of magnitude in the coming years. So they could add on. they could build a facility just as large as it is right now in the coming years. What's in here? What are they storing? I'll tell you what they're storing. Your emails, your search records. You know, if you go to Google, you know how people say Google. I'm going to do a whole show about this, by the way, on Google, exposing them. But they've done a really good job getting us all to say, well, just Google it, right? Well, that's part of what's in here, your Google search results and searches, what you're searching for. And Yahoo, no different. Bing, all of them, they're in here, okay? So here's the problem. So they're increasing this. Well, obviously, these requirements are fiercely opposed, or they're so-called, at least, by the tech industry. Now, I have got some suspicions with Google, Yahoo, and any of these companies that are in the PRISM program, AT&T, Verizon. If they're participating in what's called the PRISM program, which is a cooperation with the NSA to collect data, then how could they be fiercely opposed? They're working with the NSA, okay? Microsoft, one of the worst. Apple, sorry, Apple lovers. I like Apple as well. They're a part of it as well. So, you know, they argue this. Backdoors weaken security for everyone. Well, amen. That's exactly correct. And that's what I was saying earlier. Yes, that is absolutely true. And that the government has no business mandating tech product design. Yes, but they are, and it's going that way. And this is what Hank Thomas is his name, Chief Operating Officer at Strategic Cyber Ventures, veteran of the NSA. So he said, quote, "I imagine Trump is going to be a guy who is probably going to mandate backdoors," end of quote. Ooh, man. Look, we knew what we were going to get if you voted for Hillary. Yes, you're going to get more of this right here. But I didn't expect it with Trump. But I think we're going to get that as well. So we're going to continue on here. All right, this is what Hank said. "I don't think he's going to ultimately be a friend to privacy. In the fearful side of me, says he will get intelligence agencies moving more involved in domestic law enforcement," end of quote. You know, when we have a terrorist, because this is the excuse, we have terrorism problems. Recently, Ohio State University, the guy, the Somalian immigrant, been here for 2 years, you know the story, ran into, off the curb, started stabbing people with a butcher knife. All right. Well, I'm just glad that security took him down before he hurt anybody else or killed anybody else. Somebody died in that. This is not good. Well, they use things like that as an excuse to increase security on us all. I don't want terrorism, okay? I don't want it at all. I am for extreme vetting. I am for, man, make these people, you got to know what who's coming in here. I am all for all that. I'm all for a wall as well. No question. But they use incidents like that, you know, you go back and you look at the terrorist activities that have occurred in the past few years, you'll notice that on some of them, the FBI had interviewed these people and questioned them before. They questioned them. And yet they were able to buy guns. They were on the FBI watch list, and they still committed the crimes. They still committed murders. It's disturbing to me. So is it really helping? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's crazy to think that they'll interview somebody and then it won't do something about it. I mean, you can just watch them. What are you going to watch them commit a crime? But I bring that up because that's what they're using as an excuse, but they're not stopping any of this. All right? If they're stopping it, that's another story, but they're not. So little is known about who is advising right now. It's still known. Advising Trump on technology policy, but he is expected to lean heavily on former Defense Intelligence Agency Director Michael Flynn. He just recently selected him as Director of National Intelligence, as we all know. So, but former retired Lieutenant General Ronald Burgess is a part of Trump's transition team right now and is focusing on intelligence and security matters. And that's according to a Trump team document seen by Reuters. So Trump's ability to expand surveillance operations at the NSA can be troubling. And Elizabeth Goitein, she's the co-director of the Brennan Center for Justice, Liberty, and National Security. She said it is troubling to some privacy advocates because of the level of secrecy that shrouds the program. She's right.
Today you face serious threats to your freedoms, such as data collection and weak security by using free email accounts, unwarranted surveillance and cyber crimes. Ransomware, malware, and a host of other viruses are constantly attacking. Privacy of your online data is freedom. For pennies on the dollar, you can prepare now before it's too late. You too can use the same strength of protection that even Swiss banks are using. Begin today and start regaining your online privacy. Solutions for homes and businesses are found by visiting privacyabroad.com.
You know, when you couple all that with what Edward Snowden said, with the fact of what he said, because it's absolutely true, it's all happening before our very eyes for 3 years. The absolute war that we're engaged in, and you just call it cyber warfare. Every time we log on the internet, we have to be worried about getting a virus on our computer or hacked with ransomware. They're getting better at what they're doing. You can listen to previous episodes. We've gone through those. But here's what Snowden had to say. So Snowden said this: peeking through teleconference from Moscow, it's where he's living, told a gathering at a law school in Buenos Aires University, this was a couple weeks ago, the election of Trump raised concerns of increased intrusiveness of U.S. domestic surveillance policies. Snowden said this: we are starting to substitute open government for sheer authoritarianism, a government based not upon the principle of informed consent granted by people who understand its activities, but rather a trust in personalities, a trust in claims, a trust in the hope that they will just do the right thing. If government does actually win our trust, because they go for some years and they do operate in a way that we should support, what happens when it changes? This is the kind of the challenge that we are facing today in the United States with the result of the last election. That's Snowden saying that. He's right. Trump's inherited a mess in a number of areas. And I personally, I could pray for him to be able to handle these areas according to our U.S. Constitution, okay? Including security and the NSA. This is a balancing act. How do you operate in NSA without violating the Fourth Amendment rights of law-abiding citizens? That's a question right there, right? That's it. How can he do that? I certainly hope he can, because we have too many threats already. We have technology companies like Google and Yahoo taking our information, our emails, scanning, analyzing, categorizing our emails. IP trackers, when you search the internet, they're constantly gathering your information to sell it to advertisers, constantly. We already have enough threats to our privacy and our freedoms and our civil liberties. And then we have cybercrime and hackers. Obviously, that's a big deal. So how can he balance this? Well, I could tell you this. He's promised to take big security measures to deal with terror threats to the U.S., and he should. He has taken conflicting stands when it comes to Snowden, though. In 2013, he called Snowden a terrible traitor. In an interview, he hinted that Snowden should be executed. Well, these aren't good things. But I think by now we know Trump, and we know some of the things he could say. He also said he would become a major fan of Snowden if the latter released President Barack Obama's records. So he's saying, look, if he can release his records, I'll become a fan of him. All right. Well, I think we know President Obama's records here. And I don't think, well, first of all, we know that he's not going to pardon Snowden, nor do I think Trump is going to pardon Snowden. Sadly, I don't think he's a traitor. I think he is a hero. He took the information from the NSA because they were violating our constitutional rights, went to The Guardian in the UK, sat with them for what, days, weeks, watched the movie Snowden, and you'll see that, and gave him the information, deleted it from his hard drive, and left for Moscow. Had he had gone straight to Moscow, straight to the Russian government, said, here's what the U.S. is doing, here's the information, now, that's another thing. He gave it to the papers, deleted from his laptop, and left. It's definitely controversial, but again, it doesn't matter if you think he's a hero or you think he's a traitor. What he did is he helped us to see and understand what the NSA should be doing and what they're doing. All right, it's not to say that I think they have 40,000 employees that they're all bad. I don't think that's the case at all. I think that we need to have national security. Obviously, we do. But not to spy on American citizens. That is not what it's for. All right. I'm getting back to Mr. Trump. Donald Trump tweeted this. All I could say is that if I were president, Snowden would have already been returned to the U.S. by their fastest jet and with an apology. He did say this. Just know this. Donald Trump is about to control the most powerful surveillance machine in history, one that has been in operation for many years and has expanded, like amazing expansion going on the last few years, especially even you go back to 9-1-1. It's grown ever since 9-1-1, really. That's the growth curve, but it's grown substantially in the past few years as well, all of a sudden. Still early, obviously. But a picture is starting to emerge of how President-elect Trump could use those powers, and it's not a real pretty sight. I'm bringing you the information. I'm not proud to say that. I'm just bringing you the information. Man, I voted for Trump. I went to his rally. I had a bumper sticker on my truck, okay? Love his policies. Since the September 11th attacks, the U.S. government gives the president almost unlimited discretion in matters of national security, with few limitations or mechanisms for oversight. And that includes NSA surveillance, as well as the expanding powers of the drone program. And from what Trump has said on the campaign trail all through his campaign, his targets for using those powers may cut against some of America's most important civil rights, unfortunately. I hope it doesn't. But that's what it's looking like. The crown jewel of that system, by the way, is the NSA. And there's reason to think it will grow even more secretive and voracious in the Trump administration. Trump's current transition team, I already went through some of them. There's another one, Devin Nunes out of California. It's being that he's involved, well, that suggests the agency will be moving towards a more invasive collection and less transparency than ever before. Former Congressman Mike Rogers, he left the Trump team, which is good, but no warrant or court approval is required. Guy, that's what he was all about. To a large degree, those changes can be carried out completely in secret without authorization from Congress or even the FISA court. That's what's scary. We may not really know. what's going on. The majority of the NSA's operations are authorized under a little-known presidential mandate called Executive Order 12333. And this is what that executive order does. It authorizes collection of data inside and outside of U.S. borders for national security purposes. Let's pause right there. You know, if you're guarding what's coming in to the U.S., you're going to severely decrease what you have to monitor on the inside, right? Problem is, look, we have a whole lot of people living and residing here, including the terrorist that committed 9/11, the terrorist, the recent one at Ohio State University, these are terrorists that have lived here for years. That's the problem. But you could stop it from getting any worse. Control what's coming in. And I think that Trump's going to do that. I bet he will stick to his word on that. But here it is, Executive Order 12333. It's an executive order rather than law, remember. So it can't be challenged in a court or overturned by Congress. And it places almost no limits on what the NSA can collect. That's the problem right there. Executive Order 12333 contains nothing to prevent the NSA from collecting and storing all such communications content as well as metadata. That's your details of your data traveling through the internet, provided that such collection occurs outside the United States in the course of lawful foreign intelligence investigation. Yeah, well, a former State Department section chief wrote in 2014, explained the importance of the order. This is what he said. I'm quoting it right here. Quote, no warrant or court approval is required, and such collection never need be reported to Congress. None of the reforms that Obama announced earlier this year will affect such collection, end of quote. Scary. That's why a lot of members of Congress, they seem like they don't even know what's going on with the NSA and the surveillance activities. It's like they don't, because they're left in the dark, because they don't have to report. Because of this order, they do not have to report what they're collecting to Congress. So they are completely in the dark. Oh, President-elect Trump. He has a lot of work to do. I'm glad that he's president. I am. And I really hope and pray that he handles the delicate operation of NSA surveillance according to law, according to our Constitution, according to our civil liberties. I really do. That's my prayer and that's my hope. So without further ado, I'm going to welcome Michael Pickens on the show. Michael Pickens, he's a political consultant working exclusively for pro-liberty organizations and candidates. He runs grassroots political campaigns, and he focuses on door-to-door community outreach. He focuses on bringing the power from Washington, D.C. back to the local level. And that's good. Hey, this is all good. Very good stuff. He believes that people know how to govern their lives better than bureaucrats 3,000 miles away. Amen. I do too. He wrote a book called Libertarian Leadership. He's obviously a libertarian. And working on a second book called Hero in Your Soul.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Well, it's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a lineup of great content back at AmericaOutLoud.com.
And with that said, I want to welcome our guest, Michael Pickens, to the show today. Michael, welcome. Thanks for being here.
David, thanks for having me back, man. This is a topic that we definitely need to continue talking about and educating people on. So I'm really glad that you had me come back on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for taking the time. It is a big topic. I mean, this is big. I mean, the dust is settling, other than some recounting and some key states right now. whatever. But in any case, I think all said and done with, I mean, President Trump won. President-elect Trump is going to be the next president. And so we're at a situation here that we've been talking about, how it's going to impact our freedoms, particularly online. I mean, as you know, and we had discussions before about all the mass surveillance that has been going on, getting worse by the day, it seems. I just read a report the other day about a big AT&T building up in New York. No windows on it, but it's an NSA building. I mean,
oh, geez.
Crazy stuff. I mean, I'm still looking into all that, but it's just craziness. And so I wanted to have you back on to talk about this. I know that you're deeply entrenched in the political movement and service to our country, which is great. And we just want to hear your opinion on this. So let's talk about Trump. I mean, we all know he's portrayed himself as a law and order president. And I think we all want more law and order in our cities, and we certainly don't want to see terrorist activities like we saw in San Bernardino and in many Ohio State University yesterday happening. Well,
sure.
There's a balancing act here, and I guess where I'm getting at is what. I don't know how he's going to handle this, really. He's got a monster of an NSA, unwarranted surveillance going on that has been created over the years. Where do you think it's going to go? What do you think he's going to end up doing by what you know so far?
It obviously did not start with Trump. It's not going to end with Trump. You know, under George Bush, he greatly increased the surveillance state, greatly increased executive powers. And then the Democrats were hoping that Obama was going to come in and dial this stuff back. Well, guess what? Obama's wasted the past 8 years and actually has increased the surveillance state. Now, Donald Trump, in January, he's going to inherit this massive surveillance state. Then he's going to have all these powers to continue spying. Not only that, but if you take a look at his choices for two of the top law enforcement and intelligence agencies, it's not good. He's got Republican Senator Jeff Sessions for Attorney General and Republican Representative Mike Pompeo for Director of the CIA. And these two are both leading advocates for domestic government spying, right? These guys are out there saying we need more information. We need to be able to see more of what people are looking at. And it's not good. Yeah, it doesn't matter, Republican or Democrat, they're going to increase the size of the surveillance state. We've got to do something to stop it.
Do you think they use the recent terrorist activities, and even that are going on worldwide, as an excuse? Is that your opinion?
Oh, they definitely use that as an excuse. They use fear. They scare people, right? Murders happen all the time, and they're not a good thing. But to blame it on terrorism and then say the solution is to increase surveillance. More surveillance would have not stopped this knife attack, right? More surveillance is not going to stop other terrorist attacks. What's going to curb terrorism is stop bombing people's families. That's going to curb terrorism, right? Stop creating enemies around the globe. And if you look at the statistics, terrorism has increased by like 1400% since 9/11. It's increased. So obviously what we're doing is not working as a government. We should take a look at it, reevaluate, rethink the strategy, and maybe use more education versus a hammer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no question about it. And I know it has increased to the levels of, you know, we don't know where the next attack's coming from. And I think that is playing into our fear. We don't know. Is it going to be, you know, what university's next? What school's next? What mall? Shopping malls. I mean, he just targets stadiums full of people, you know? And and that's where we're at, which is scary. And I think it does scare everybody. But you know what? I can't recall, because you said it, I can't recall them, our NSA, thwarting one terrorist activity or stopping.
Well, this is the thing. They tout these examples of them catching terrorists before it happens. But the examples that they tout, they've actually set people up, and they've set these situations up to where they're trying to create terrorists, and they basically entrap people or entrap disillusioned people into becoming terrorists, and then they catch them. So it's just a big con game is what it is. They have to keep the fear mongering going. The population's in fear, they're going to give more power to the government. That's how it's always worked over history.
Unbelievable. It's just continuing. And I mean, it was my understanding as well that they had interviewed the husband and wife team out there in San Bernardino that committed those horrific acts. They had interviewed them. They were on their watch list, the FBI. So yeah. They obviously dropped the ball on that. I mean, if they were on their watch list, they watched them commit murders? I mean, I don't really understand. If they're on their watch list, what happened? Yeah. You know.
This is actually really scary, man, because what is the next step after this, right? They can continue to increase surveillance, which they will, but what's the next step? It's the same thing that happened with Pearl Harbor. When Pearl Harbor was bombed, what was the next step, right? They did a bunch of surveillance on Japanese Americans, and they eventually rounded them up using fear-mongering to allow it to happen. And that fear-mongering is already there. I have conversations with people on Facebook who think all Muslims want to kill all Americans. Like, that's what they truly believe. These people actually believe that because that's the fear-mongering that's going on. And we've seen how there was that media company in England that was paid $700 million by our government to create fake propaganda videos of people being beheaded. They're using propaganda against the American people and to continue their militarism in the Middle East, being able to continue to pay these military industrial complex companies to create bombs and drones and everything else and just keep the money flowing into the war machine.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. They have been doing it, and it doesn't seem like it's getting any better. But I mean, you know, you raise the point of Muslims, and all these terrorist activities that have occurred here, they have Muslim roots, correct? So I think that's where they're, or they don't.
Well, that's what they're saying, but no, there's been more white male terrorist attacks than Muslim terrorist attacks in the United States. You know, so that's really a narrative that they don't talk about.
Yeah, I mean,
look at the Colorado shooting, the Columbine shooting. There's right, so many right. other examples of non-Muslim terrorist attacks in the United States.
And I'm thinking, you know, really recently, you know, those have been the ones in the media, at least. You know, they've been all roots coming back. I like the Ohio State University, the Somalian immigrant.
Sure.
You know, San Bernardino, I mean, they have, there's been a string of them and then around the world as well. And I think that's what, you know, they're using, but it's being true.
When we pay attention to the reasons why they do these things, right? Their own stated reasons why they're upset that other Muslims are being bombed in the Middle East. So they're going to come over here. And they're gonna enact revenge, if you will, against that. That's what they're stating their reason is. I'm not saying it's right. It's definitely not right.
Right. Sure. Sure.
You know, an eye for an eye will leave the world blind.
Yeah. No.
That's, you know, what did George Carlin say? Oh yeah, bombing for peace is like screwing for virginity.
Yeah, it's definitely not working, and so what I mean, and that's where we're at. I mean, but that's the reason. I mean, that's why we're discussing this. Is because they're using this as the reason for surveillance. But I have heard this, and this is on the lines of the Muslims and mosques that, and this came out of the Trump administration campaign, that they want targeted surveillance. Have you heard this? Targeted surveillance in certain mosques. Okay, in certain mosques. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think it's ridiculous. look, this doesn't solve anything. This is just going to make the problem worse. You know, he was talking about a Muslim registry. This is ridiculous stuff here. It's going to piss a lot of people off. And you know what it's going to do? It's going to create more terrorists.
Yeah, I agree.
It's going to make these people feel even more alienated in the society, and they're going to fight back. They're going to push back against it. And it's not right. You know, neither side is right in this situation.
No, they're wrong, too. I mean, but here's the thing, too, is you do have Muslims that uphold Sharia law. And you know as well as I do, if they're upholding Sharia law, they cannot be, it is impossible for them to follow the U.S. Constitution, because Sharia law takes precedence over the U.S. Constitution. That's the debate right there.
Definitely. So I look at it like this. Do you remember the Christian Reformation or the Catholic Reformation?
Yes,
that happened.
Do. Yes.
Right. The old Catholic Church followed these very dogmatic old rules. Right. And then the Reformation happened and they kind of evolved. Right. The same thing needs to happen with Islam. So there's this old group, let's say super conservative Islamic preachers, and they're preaching Sharia law,
right,
which is very, you know, Stone Age type stuff. The only way to combat an idea is with a conflicting idea. Once Muslims learn about liberty and they learn about true freedom and the prosperity that comes with it, they leave that. We have a group called Muslims for Liberty, which is a group of libertarian Muslims, right, who want to live by their own rules but not force their rules onto anyone else. Right, and these aren't bad people. They, you know, they treat their wives amazing. They're not the Sharia law types. But it was only through education did they move in that direction. It can't be through bombs. It's just going to radicalize more of them.
Right, right. No, I'm with you. Yeah, I hear you. But the problem obviously is stemming from this, and this is what it's revolved around, at least, is what I'm trying to say. And they're using as an excuse to, hey, we're gonna make sure we are surveying everybody and watching what everybody's doing, and they're doing it, and they're continuing to do it. Forcing tech companies built to build backdoors, executive orders. Rule 41 most likely will take place in 2 days, which will give the government the ability to hack any computer in the world with a warrant issued in any jurisdiction. It's just the craziest thing I've ever heard. That's just crazy to me. Obviously, we have to see. We get 2 days. Do I trust Congress to stop it? No, because what have they stopped so far? They didn't stop the internet giveaway a few months back.
Nope.
They let that just go on, and happen. So I don't think – and there's resistance. And that's the thing, Michael. There's resistance on both sides of the aisle in this. Obviously, libertarians as well. Democrats and Republicans are in opposition of all this, but it's still not getting anywhere. I mean, are they just saying they're in opposition? Are they just pulling our legs here?
Are you tired of having to remember all your passwords? Wouldn't it be nice to have all your important files, usernames, and passwords in one secure location? Finally, there's a solution for homes and enterprises. SwissSafe will store and protect all your files and passwords using military-grade encryption. SwissSafe is the preferred online digital vault for Swiss financial institutions such as UBS, Allianz, and AXA Winterthur. Create ultra-strong passwords that you never have to remember again. Send files securely to anyone at any time. Use a patented data inheritance feature for your beneficiaries. For more information, visit MySwissSafe.com. That's MySwissSafe.com.
The people who are in opposition are very few, right? I know Senator Ron Wyden out of Oregon is a Democrat, and obviously Senator Rand Paul in Kentucky.
Yes.
Are really, you know, the few voices that we have pushing back against the surveillance state.
Yep.
But it's not enough. And look at this last election, man. 95% reelected. 11% approval rate, but 95% of them get reelected. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
We gotta do something. The people who aren't paying attention, we need to wake them up somehow, and we need to keep talking about it. Look, we've got the best election results libertarians have ever had in history. Here in Washington State, we got 5.01% for Gary Johnson. That's almost 300% increase. Yeah, 300% increase from 4 years ago. One of our state rep candidates, back in 2014, he got 20% of the vote when he ran. This time, he got 33% of the vote. A 13% wow. increase in the past 2 years. This is very encouraging. This is showing that people are starting to wake up. And we've just got to continue pushing along these lines before it gets to a point where it's too late.
Right,
so we can't
right.
go back. I don't think we're there yet, but it's moving in that direction very rapidly.
Oh, yeah. And I think that even the results of this last presidential election prove that. You know, that people were crying out for an outsider, at least, and moving that direction. But you're right. I mean, people do want more parties. They do.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do to get
them. Look at Hillary. Yeah, well, look at Hillary Clinton's vote totals. She got 5 million less votes than Barack Obama did in 2012. 5 million less votes. So the 5 million Democrats that said, you know what, I'm tired of this. I'm not going to vote for it again. Not going to vote for a continuation. And they didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
Which got Donald Trump elected. But I don't know if he's better or worse or whatever. It's just a different brand of authoritarianism, in my opinion.
Do you think that those 5 million votes went to Trump or just didn't vote or a combination?
No, they didn't vote. If you look at the vote total, there was less people who voted.
Yeah. I got it. So the five, I see. Gotcha. I see it. They just said, I'm done. I'm not voting at all. Or I'm writing somebody. Yeah. So whatever. I'm done.
Yeah. No, thanks.
Yeah. Interesting. So do you think what I'm seeing, and we're trying hard to get the information out in terms of mass surveillance, unconstitutional mass surveillance. Why should we have to explain that it's unconstitutional? I mean, do you see what I'm saying? I mean, where are these people getting the information? Are they, well, obviously, we know a little bit about, you know, the media feeding them, but where are they getting the information that they have forgotten that they do have rights and freedoms and
David,
they need to stand for them? What's going on? I mean, it's just frustrating.
David, look, if you have nothing to hide, you should be okay with it. Right?
That's what they tell people.
That's what they say. If you have nothing to hide, you should be okay with it. We should be able to check your stuff. You got nothing to hide.
Mm-hmm.
And then anyone who's against it, obviously, you know, we have something to hide when the answer is no. You know, it's fear. It's fear-based. The government's been using this type of fear-based propaganda for years, and they continue to do it, and it'll continue along those same lines until people finally say, you know what, I'm not going to live in fear anymore. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm going to realize that more people die in bathtubs every year than they do from terrorist attacks.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
A revolution has to take place, at least not with guns, but you know what I'm saying, a revolution of education and knowledge
yes.
and empowerment so that they finally stand up and say, I'm done with this. And executive orders, like I was mentioned early on the show, 12333, which contains nothing to prevent the NSA from collecting and storing all of our communications. And it says in there, provided that collection occurs outside the U.S. and in the course of lawful foreign intelligence investigation. Well, we know that's not the case because Edward Snowden obviously put his life on the line, and he's living in Moscow, Russia as a result, by exposing what they were doing on mass surveillance of U.S. And that, I don't know if you saw the movie or not, but that was the during the movie when Snowden looked at what he created and saw that they were using it for the mass surveillance of U.S. citizens and not
– yeah.
And they were using it for foreign entities as well, but it was minuscule compared to – And that's what he created it for. That's what they told him to create it for, was for surveillance of you know, foreign countries, other foreign countries. And so, okay, well, he did that. And then when he found out that they were using it for U.S. surveillance, that's what flipped the switch. And he said, I'm done with this, and I cannot continue with this, and, you know, I'm out of here. And that was a telling point in the movie, because you could see the actor that portrayed him, that you could see his reaction to the computer screen. And it was like a wake-up call. And I feel that people need that as well. And in Snowden said it well. Well, people that say they don't have anything to hide say that they may not. They must say that they don't care about freedom of speech because they have nothing to say. And that's where we're at. It's the Constitution, and I guess that we could say that about anything. And that's the scary part. There is no rationalizing this. It's the Constitution. We need to abide by it. It's what formed our country. So
let's talk about that. The Constitution. You got the First Amendment and the Second Amendment, right? This NSA spying, it's not going to take out terrorists. You know what would deter more terrorists than anything? Enforcing the Second Amendment. You know, law-abiding citizens being able to carry guns, taking personal responsibility.
Exactly.
You know, what would have happened if there was a good guy with a gun in Ohio yesterday? What would have happened?
That's right.
You know, that's what we need. Law-abiding citizens having their rights to be able to protect themselves and their friends and their families and their neighbors, not gun-free zones, because gun-free zones just is a sign that basically says, hey, we're unarmed, come get us. You know, we're not going to fight back. We're right here.
And that's where these terrorist activities that have taken place, a lot of them. Yeah. Gun-free zones.
Gun-free zones. And look where most of the gun violence happens, in areas with the strictest gun laws.
Yeah, Chicago, for example. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's exactly correct. It's crazy. It is. And like we said earlier, I mean, Donald Trump, he's about to control the most powerful and largest surveillance machine in the history of the world here in the United States.
I'm going to tell you how we fix it. This is how we fix it. It's not going to happen overnight. But everyone listening to this show, if you can run for local office, if you can run for city council, run for sheriff, run for school board, run if you can. If you can't run, find someone else, help recruit someone else to run for these lower level offices, and then we can start getting in and making the right decisions and stopping some of these things. Because if you had what's going to happen is Trump's going to implement more of these policies, and he's going to offer large grants to these local city police departments to implement new technology to spy on people. The spying is going to happen at the local level at the police department. That's where it's going to happen. Trump's administration, and same with Obama's, they've been increasing local police powers. Mm-hmm. They're going to try to implement a national police state, where all police departments are controlled at the top down at the national level. But right now they're not. They're all controlled at the city council level. They're going to try to push in these grants to the city councils to get local police departments to accept new technology that's going to report back to the federal government, the NSA, the CIA, FBI. It's going to report all back to them. So we can do something now. Not only that, getting elected at the local level will allow for future runs at higher levels and increase the chances of actually winning and getting elected. So we have more people like Rand Paul, more people like Senator Ron Wyden out of Oregon, who are pushing back against these infringements on our freedom of privacy.
Amen. Absolutely. That's exactly what's going to happen. And I do agree with you that the local level, and that's scary, because that is not what we want at the local level. They've got enough to do at the local level, in my opinion. They're doing enough. And I know one of the reasons is because of our inner city violence. I understand that. It's been going on for years, decades of inner city violence.
Yeah.
Not just overnight here. This has been decades. But I know that's an excuse to push it down to the local level so they report to these committees, like you were saying. And I believe that's one of the things that he means by law and order president.
There's ways to solve inner city violence, to decrease the amount of inner city violence. And it all stems back to how much freedom these people really have. What happens is if these youths, you know, get caught selling drugs, right, victimless crime, then what happens, they get a felony, they get let out of jail or prison. Now they can't get a job. So what do? They turn to violent crimes. They turn to selling drugs again, because that's all they can do, because the system is not set up for second chances. The system is set up to keep people in the system. And it destroys communities. We've seen it all across the country, destroying communities, not to mention the economic viabilities of these communities. Tax rates, you got 50% of all the money from local communities leaving, going to state legislatures, going to Washington, D.C., and not coming back. And then the economic restrictions as far as burdensome regulations to where people can't start businesses, right? They have to pay big money to get licenses and permits and whatever else. So they can't get out of this economic hole, this depression. And it's really created by the government and instilled on the people. Right. And the more we can wake people up to that, like getting candidates elected to the local level. Last year, our organization was able to help 5 candidates get elected at the local level. This year, we are looking, 2017, we're looking to have over 1,000 candidates recruited and trained to run at the local level. We have 79 right now.
Wow, that's fantastic. Now, you're doing a great job, Michael, and you're just spot on at what you just said. And that's the thing. It's we the people, not you the government, do what you want. It's we the people.
Yep.
And those listening, just listen to the advice we give you. Listen to the ads that we put on here to help you with these solutions, because if you do not take matters to protect yourself, and in this case, the NSA surveillance, because we know from what we see so far, and all of that, everything that we've said in the show so far is to say this: NSA surveillance is going to continue full speed ahead, and you've got to do what you can do to protect yourselves from that and our other two threats, like cyber crimes. We didn't even talk about those because we didn't talk about them on the show. And big tech companies collecting your information. You've got to protect yourselves today, tomorrow, and well into the future. Remember something. If the government can see your personal data, so can the criminals. And it's something to always remember. But, Michael, it's been a pleasure having you on this show once again. We will have you back, my friend, as things unfold into the future here. And we so much appreciate you, Michael. Keep up the good work of what you're doing.
Hey, thank you so much. Can I plug my website real quick?
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
So if you're thinking about running for office, go to my website, libertarianleadership.org. We've got a bunch of free material we give out. I've got my book on there, the first book. It's a free PDF that you can download. And then we have our Libertarian Leadership Online Academy that's going to be launching on January 2nd. So we have all the skills, everything that we've learned to get our guys elected last year, that's all going to be available all online in a video format, video education. So libertarianleadership.org. David, thank you so much for having me on your show again. Really appreciate it.
You bet, Michael.
And keep up the great work.